When things go bad in the life of an unbeliever, what does the unbeliever usually attribute it to? Karma,
bad karma,
yeah. bad luck, happenstance, chance. And so if that's what has caused your bad situation in life, then it's not surprising that they despair or they get angry. Why do I always have such bad luck? Why do all the bad things have to happen to me? So believing in chance or luck, when things go bad, it's natural that they would get angry. How about when things go well? If you're dependent on luck. Yeah, lady luck. Usually when things go well, they maybe don't attribute as much to luck as their own personal ingenuity and skill. They'll take the credit for the good and they'll be happy to blame the bad on chance or fate or happenstance. Well, obviously we as believers, not attributing anything to luck or to chance, can't have those kinds of responses. Tonight we're going to be looking at one verse and then springboarding off that to some other passages here before we observe the Lord's Supper. I'll ask you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I don't believe I've ever taught on this passage at Foundation directly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 16, Paul says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." So this is one of the shortest verses in the Bible. This has got to be one of Pastor Michael's shortest messages ever. Well, it probably will be a little bit shorter than average, but there's a lot that the Bible says about giving thanks. Specifically here in verse 18, he says, "In everything, be giving thanks." We need to note, first of all, that it's a command. It's not optional for a believer. It's an expectation. It's a command. Second, note that you could translate it this way: in everything, be constantly giving thanks, is the idea of it. In other words, it should be a regular practice for us as believers. So there should be discipline times where you focus on giving thanks just as part of your regular quiet time with the Lord. So for many of you, that probably occurs at the beginning of your prayer time. Maybe after you've read the scripture and you're going into prayer, maybe you'll devote a few minutes at the beginning of your prayer for giving thanks, for worshiping, for praising. Maybe you make it a practice that before you go to sleep at night, as you're laying there, instead of counting sheep, you're giving thanks to the Lord, maybe for the blessings of the day, praying about what's coming up the next day. So there should be regular times of giving thanks to the Lord that are just built in. Is there anything wrong with having planned times of thanksgiving? Not unless it's just rote or ritual. We often plan times to come together to meet. We plan times for reading the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with discipline as long as it comes from the heart. So regular times of giving thanks, but also spontaneous. What we might call popcorn Thanksgiving, where you just quickly throw up a prayer of thanksgiving as God brings something to your mind or something occurs. Right on the spot, you give thanks, maybe as you're driving somewhere or after you've had a conversation or the Lord blesses in business. Immediate and spontaneous thanksgiving. So all the time thanksgiving. Now, what does he mean by be giving thanks constantly? Does that mean that's all you do all day? Obviously not. I think we could maybe parallel it with something, the expression we use nowadays, 24/7. Just all the time, whenever there's an opportunity and something that should be thanked, Lord should be thanked for, to throw up that thanksgiving. And notice here, he says, in everything be giving thanks. In the Greek, it's actually referring, it's plural. It's not just a command for one person. It's plural, so we could translate it something like this. All believers should always be giving thanks. All believers giving thanks. Why? Because thankfulness is a characteristic of a genuine believer. Unthankfulness, habitual unthankfulness, is more an attribute, a characteristic of an unbeliever. We know that from passages like Romans 1:21, 2 Timothy 3, in the last days. This is what apostates will be like. They will be unthankful. They will be ungrateful. So it should be a characteristic of every believer's life. But if you're like me, you probably find yourself quite lacking in thanksgiving. So he says, in everything be giving thanks. So it's a command. It's something that should be done all the time by all believers. And he says, in all circumstances. In everything. In every situation, in every part of life that you find yourself in, he says, be giving thanks. I just ran down some of the tried to look at when this word was used in the New Testament to see what kind of situations Bible, New Testament believers were giving thanks for. We won't look at every single one of them, but try and mention at least the general categories and highlight a couple verses for you. What are some of the things that we find in the New Testament believers giving thanks for? Feel free to give feedback. That's fine.
Paul says, often I thank my God upon every remembrance of you.
And that's probably the most common time we find this word in the New Testament is when Paul is thanking God for another believer and what God is doing in that other believer's life. So we will come to that one for sure. What other situations? Okay. Yeah, they're singing hymns, and it doesn't say singing hymns and praising God, which probably involve thanksgiving. A lot of our hymns involve direct thanksgiving, don't they? Pastor Bob?
Ephesians 5 tells us to give thanks always for all things.
Okay, so that's another key passage, Ephesians 5, for all things. John? Yeah, good. I didn't know if anybody would catch that one, but you're exactly right. We'll come to that passage in just a minute when one of the lepers was healed. Okay? Any other situations you can think of? Barrett?
Somewhere in the book of Acts, when the apostles, I think it's Paul and his team, is speaking up good and says that they would give thanks if they're worthy to suffer for
him. Okay, all right, good. Giving thanks that they were worthy to suffer. That would definitely qualify as in all situations, but one of those really hard ones to give thanks for. All right, let's work through some of them. Nobody mentioned this, and you're all going to say, oh yeah, I forgot that one. Should have come up with that one. How about before a meal, before we eat? Jesus' example there, breaking bread, and it tells us he gave thanks to the Father. It was an interesting one in Acts chapter 27. You don't have to turn there, but Paul is on the way to Rome, and he's there with soldiers and other prisoners, and they're in the storm at sea, and everything is bleak, and the guys are getting so depressed they're not even eating. And Paul tells them to eat. Nobody's going to die. God's promising this. And then it tells us in Acts 27, verse 35, that Paul gave thanks for the food. And what stood out to me about that was he was doing it in the presence of all these pagan soldiers. So you can almost just picture these tough Roman soldiers just kind of standing around and waiting while Paul goes through his prayer. So there's an interesting biblical example that if you have the opportunity, maybe over the Christmas season with unbelievers, being bold enough to ask them if they would let you lead in prayer for the meal. So giving thanks for the food. And honestly, have you ever forgotten? You get up to have breakfast, and maybe you're eating staggered breakfast, and you've about five bites into your Frosted Flakes or your Cheerios or your oatmeal or your bagel, and you realize, I never thank the Lord. Give thanks for food. The one Greg mentioned, the growth of other believers. You're there in 1 Thessalonians, so let's just go back to chapter 2, maybe on the same page in your Bible even. Chapter 2, verse 13. He says, "For this reason we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you received it, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." So what does Paul thank God for? That they accepted what he was telling them as the word of God, because that's what it was, and that gave the opportunity for spiritual growth in their lives as the word continued to work in them. It's performing its work in those who believe, and Paul gives thanks for that. Just flip the page over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and in his greeting in verse 3, Paul writes, "We ought always to give thanks to God for you." Why? "Brethren, as it is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater and greater." If you find yourself getting frustrated with other believers in the church, here's what you need to do. You need to stop and you need to start thanking God for the way He's working in their lives. Pastor Bob mentioned this morning there's no perfect church, but there are growing churches. And when you're a part of a growing church, you can stop and you can thank God for what He's doing in other believers' lives. Parents, when you're getting frustrated with what's going on in lives and you're wanting your kids to grow in the Lord faster, why don't you stop and why don't you give thanks for the good signs of growth that are in their life? He says, "We always ought to give thanks because the faith is greatly enlarged, their trust in God is continuing to progress, and they're demonstrating that in love towards one another." So if God has given us a loving church, and He has, we should stop and we should thank Him for the growth of other believers. We have to ask ourselves a question. Why was Paul such a joyful guy? I mean, if anybody could say, my life circumstances, kind of hard to give thanks for, it was Paul. Why was he such a joyful guy? Because he was thankful. I think that's probably the primary thing that leads to joy in a believer's life is thanksgiving. Pastor Bob? Yeah, good. Related to that, Paul gives thanks for godly friends. Number 3, not only food and the growth of other believers, he gives thanks for his godly friends. For instance, Romans chapter 16 and verse 4, Paul thanks the Lord for his fellow workers, Priscilla and Aquila, who risked their necks for him. They were willing to give their own life for Paul's well-being, and he thanks the Lord for godly friends. When he gets to Rome after the shipwreck there on the island of Malta, or he gets to Italy, Acts 28:15, he meets some believers that apparently he's never met before, and their encouragement to him, it says he took courage and he gave thanks. What's he giving thanks for? Luke doesn't exactly tell us, but we can guess. He's probably giving thanks for believers across the ocean that he's meeting for the first time. And he's also giving thanks for the encouragement that they were to him after a very discouraging time at sea. So we can thank the Lord for godly friends, and we must thank the Lord for godly friends. Now let's go to Luke chapter 17, the passage that John mentioned. Luke chapter 17. You can hold your place in 1 Thessalonians. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Most of you are probably familiar with the story, but Jesus heals 10 lepers, but they're not thankful, all except one. Luke chapter 17 and verse 15 says, "Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, he turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him." So 1 out of 10. After they were healed, recognized they were healed, turned back to give thanks in everything. We would think in a situation like this, it would have been very natural for all of them to come back. This is great news. Their life that was in shambles before has now been restored to normal. They can now go back and live among their families. For some of them, probably the first time in years and years and years. So we would think, well, when God does good things for us, we naturally give thanks. And it's just a reminder that thanksgiving is not our natural bent. We're naturally unthankful even for good things. And Luke adds a note there at the end of verse 16 that he was the most unlikely candidate to give thanks. He says, oh, by the way, he was a Samaritan. The only one to give thanks was the person we would least expect it from. It says he was a Samaritan. So we can give thanks to the Lord when he brings healing, when he brings great blessing, when he brings a turn of events in our life. Like Ruth, when Ruth's life goes from disaster to blessing, give thanks to God for those times. So food, the growth of other believers, godly friends, healing, probably the one that we should most often be giving thanks for, to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I hope this doesn't seem overly simplistic to you, but I recognize that in my own personal life, usually it's the simple things that trip me up, not the overly complex ones. Colossians chapter 1, Paul describing his prayers for these believers in Colossae. He's praying that they would walk worthy of the Lord. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Probably the number one reason for us as believers to give thanks to the Lord is we are forgiven. The guilt of our sin is taken away. When was the last time you directly thanked the Lord for forgiveness of sins? If you're like me, and I hate to admit this as your pastor, but I can go for pretty long periods of time without directly thinking, I'm going to thank the Lord for my salvation. Thank the Lord, number 6, for forgiveness of sins. Number 7, when Jesus had prayed there at the graveside of Lazarus in John chapter 11, what did he thank the Lord for? He said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. So number 7, we should thank the Lord for answered prayers. Answered prayers, just like Jesus set the example for us. That as the Father answers our prayers, we should praise him. Pastor Bob mentioned to me this morning, we had several of us have gone and prayed over Daniel a few weeks ago and anointed him with oil in the pattern of James chapter 5. And Pastor Bob said something very insightful to me this morning. He said, Pastor Michael, don't ever think that God didn't answer our prayer. Just a little different than we would have expected because he knew what was best. So we thank God for answered prayer. Number 8. Is that what we're at? Number 8? I've got letters here in my notes, and so it's hard to compute. Letter G, whatever that is in the alphabet. I think it's number 8. Go over to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. This is coming from heaven, so we know it has to be pleasing to the Lord. In verse 15, it says, the seventh angel sounded. There were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord. So what are they giving thanks to God for? The Almighty who are and who were, because you have taken your great power and you have begun to reign. We give thanks for the fact that God is ruling and will rule for all eternity. He's going to deal with injustice, he's going to set things right, and he's going to rule forever. Those are just eight instructions on giving thanks from the New Testament. And if you think through your personal life in some detail, you could probably come up with about 18 or 19 or 20 more things that you could be giving thanks to the Lord for. How are you going to put a passage like this into practice? Well, here's one way. It's not the biblically mandated way. It's just one way you can put this into practice. For your prayer time and your quiet time with God, why don't you just make the commitment that as best you can, you're going to spend the entire time in prayer, in praise and worship and thanksgiving. However long that is. And we might be surprised to find how quickly we default into asking God for things. When it's, okay, I'm going to try and spend the entire time in worship and prayer and thanksgiving or a certain amount of time, we quickly default back to asking things. And it's right to ask for things, but it's also right to give thanks. There's another category that we must give thanks for, and this is probably the hardest one. We must give thanks for disaster or hard times. I won't have you turn there, but in Job chapter 1, it doesn't specifically use the word thanksgiving, but it uses synonyms for thanksgiving. Job's life's just fallen apart, humanly speaking. What does it say? He fell to the ground, he worshiped, and he said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." And that's probably the hardest one for us to give thanks for, but Paul is telling us here, the Holy Spirit is telling us, we must give thanks in everything, including disaster. A couple of times during the sickness of Daniel, and even after Daniel's death, as Lisa and Netha have been talking, Netha has told Lisa something along these lines, "It's for our own good." It's for our own good. That's an attitude of thanksgiving, even for disaster, that it's for our own good. And I don't have to understand exactly how it's for my own good. I just have to give thanks. Give thanks. And so it doesn't mean that thanksgiving, you're always going to be on cloud nine when you're giving thanks. I don't think Job was. Through his tears, he was offering thanks to the Lord. We can offer thanks to the Lord for disasters, even when we don't understand them, if we are confident that it is for our own good. So why do we need to give thanks in every situation? Well, what does Paul say in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18? "For this is God's will in Christ Jesus for you," or concerning you. He says, this, giving thanks, rejoicing and praying, he says, this is God's will for you. It reflects God's desire. It reflects what pleases Him. This is what He has revealed in the will of God that we must be doing. It brings joy to God's heart. It's His will for us. And he says, it's in Christ Jesus. What does Paul mean by that, that it's in Christ Jesus? Maybe what he's saying is that because you are in Christ, because you have this life connection with the Lord Jesus, you are in Him. He's the one who makes this possible. It's not natural to do this in times of disaster. As evidenced by the story of the ungrateful leopards. Wow. I'm a little bit tired. The ungrateful lepers. That it's not natural to give thanks even for the good. And he says, because you are in Christ, Jesus is the one who empowers this through the indwelling Holy Spirit. Jesus is the only one who makes thanksgiving possible. If left to ourselves, we wouldn't do it. So we have to be dependent on Christ for this and ask for His help to do this. And he says, it's God's will for you. Again, plural, all believers. It's God's will for all believers that we be giving thanks all the time, all the time. When we arrived at the Rotary Flames house where Daniel was on Friday night, Jerome and Angela were already there when we got there, and John and Netha were talking on the cell phone to their pastors in India. They finished up those conversations over the phone. And here I am, the pastor, supposed to be bringing the comfort and encouragement. And at this point, I can't even open my mouth hardly. I don't know what to say. And so we're kneeling there with John and Netha. And John says, "We want to take some time to pray and to thank the Lord. So then he leads out in prayer, and he starts by thanking God. Thank you, God, for this. Thank you, God, for this. Thank you, God, for this. How do you do that? Only Jesus can enable that. Only Jesus can enable that. So he prayed, and then we prayed around. And then John and Nitha said we'd like to sing some songs in our language. I guess in India, when there's a death, that people will come and stay through the night and sing through the night. We didn't sing through the night, but John and Nitha sang a song in Telugu about heaven. And then we sang some English songs, It Is Well With My Soul, Blessed Assurance. I know of no better illustration of 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, because this is God's will in Christ Jesus for you. All right. Well, probably one of the greatest ways that we can give thanks to the Lord as a church family is by remembering Christ's death for us. And so I think it'd be appropriate for us to do that at this time. Different churches handle it different ways, so let me just explain for the sake of our new attenders how it works here at Foundation. We don't require you to be a member at Foundation. We certainly encourage that, and hopefully you're maybe in the process of coming that way. But we do ask that you're a believer and that you have been baptized as a believer in obedience to the Lord's command, and that to the best of your knowledge, there's no sin that would be hindering that intimate relationship with the Lord. There's no sin that's causing a hindrance there, no sin between you and another person that you haven't attempted to be reconciled with, or no sin directly against God that you haven't made right with the Lord and confessed that. So we want to take Paul's encouragement to examine ourselves seriously. So we like to give you a minute or two to examine your heart to make sure that there isn't any sin that would disqualify you from participating tonight. And if there is, and it's something that can be dealt with right now, why don't you deal with that so that you can join us in this giving thanks for the Lord's death in our place. So let's pause and in our hearts prepare. Lord, if there's any a reason that we cannot participate in this right now, that you would make that plain to us through your word so that we can deal with it. Lord, we can't come to a table that celebrates forgiveness of sins and be willfully living in sin at the time. So, Lord, we want to deal with anything that would hinder us observing the Lord's Supper in a way that would honor and please you. Lord, as your people, forgiven by you, only qualified to participate in this because you've transferred us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, this is just a wonderful thanksgiving, Lord, and we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sins. We thank you for a wonderful Savior who freely gave his body and his blood, his all for us, so that we could enjoy eternal life with you and fulfill the purpose for which we were made, to love, to worship, glorify, and enjoy you. So thank you for this privilege of remembering, and we remember, Lord, with great joy in our hearts, because we have a wonderful Savior. We commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen.